thrust his face, a face she knew as well as her own. But it was swiftly covered and replaced by confusion, then betrayal, even anger. She imagined he was able to bring suspects to their knees with that look.
How?
He stopped, gathered himself, because Nick was nothing if not all gathered together.
What are you doing here?
Mia's a psychiatrist now, Hannah answered before Mia could. And my friend. Nick didn't move for the longest time, and she tried to breathe through the shock of it, seeing him and hearing him. More ripples. She swallowed.
You're her doctor?
His voice was low, his eyes dark and fierce, potent as they had always been. Eyes that could warm and comfort or cut like ice. She knew both. She barely managed to speak. Not her doctor, exactly. I'm a therapist.
How did this happen? She could have been in a serious car accident,
he said, turning on her.
She could have been killed.
The questions and accusations cut through her before she had a chance to say more. He didn't look like he wanted to hear it. Still looking for somewhere to lay blame, still finding her an easy target. But he was afraid. She could see that. Fear, the loss of control, never brought out the best in Nick. Nick! Hannah sat up straighter, reaching for his arm. Stop it! She should go. But before she moved, two more men entered the room. They had the same brown eyes and dark hair. Zack and Luke. Probably not the hospital scene they'd expected. Mia barely had time to see the men she'd once thought of as brothers before Nick went on. Ignoring his brothers, he focused solely on his sister. That hadn't changed.
Is this the friend you met for dinner?
Nick pointed at Mia like a leper, like the enemy. No, Hannah paused. That was Stephen. Nick pulled at his hair, turned, paced a few steps away, then stalked back.
Am I the only sane person in the room?
Nick's hot gaze was back on Mia now, his eyes full of accusation.
Did you know she went out with this guy? I looked him up. He's got a violent, documented temper, for God's sake.
Luke leaned coolly against the wall, brows raised, assessing his brother.
A temper? Really? Hey, Mia.
Zack smiled, crossed to her, and pulled her in for a hard hug.
Good to see you.
You too. I need to talk to Hannah. She looked at Nick.
Alone? That's not going to happen.
Nick's hard voice shot over hers and through her already bruised heart. The same voice that had whispered, I love you so many years ago. She had no defenses against him. She didn't want to fight with him. She wouldn't. He stood at Hannah's side, as though he needed to protect his sister from her. That hurt, too. It all hurt, especially him looking at her the way he had 10 years ago, like he wanted her gone. His expression the same as he'd worn that night when she'd finally given in and given up. 10 years. 10 years, and then to suddenly be this close, with him angry and her feeling guilty and Hannah hurt. Not like last time, but still. It was too much the same, and she had to get out of here before she broke into a million pieces. I'll see if I can find the doctor and send him this way. She squeezed Hannah's hand. I'll catch up with you later. Thanks, Mia. Sure. She chanced a quick look at Nick in case it was another 10 years before she saw him again. Then she rushed past Luke and Zack and into the hall for some much-needed air. The hallway wasn't nearly far enough, and her only thought was to get outside. Get to her car, blast some air conditioning, and cry where no one would hear her. She barely made it 5 steps.
Mia.
Her name on his lips stopped her so suddenly. She knew a part of her didn't want to get away from him. The bland white and gray tiles at her feet stared back at her until they went blurry. She made herself face him, seeing the man he was now and the man he'd been. She'd spent so much time wishing for the way things used to be, when just Nick's presence made everything all right. Her eyes burned with unshed tears as they roamed over his face. He looked the same. Maybe a few more lines around the eyes, his hair a little shorter. He wore khakis and a wrinkled dress shirt, sleeves rolled up the muscled forearms she used to trace her fingers over when he held her at night. She'd thought she'd gotten over him, that if she felt any pain from when she thought of him, it was merely lingering ghosts from the past. But here he was, right now, and she hurt right now. But she hadn't cried over Nick Walker in a very long time, wouldn't let herself now. He stared at her, not speaking. Funny how he could find the words to destroy her, but none to put her back together. A nurse walked swiftly past. A call for a doctor repeated on the PA. The irony was not lost on her. What did it mean that they would see each other for the first time in a place they both hated, a place that held so many dark memories? Once, she'd been able to read every thought in his eyes. Once, he'd hidden nothing from her. Now his chiseled features and set jaw, brown eyes, and the dark brows drawn over them gave up nothing. She'd loved this man with every cell in her body, had believed nothing could ever tear them apart. But a deadly storm had come, and they hadn't weathered it. There were still times she felt she was drowning, and Nick stood here, calm and remote, as he'd been the last time she'd seen him. Like a lighthouse off in the distance, tall and strong, completely unaffected by the rolling sea or the ship's peril. Like he didn't even remember what they'd had, didn't even miss it, or her. He took a step forward, lifted his hand just slightly, and she held her breath for what he might say. She hated herself for even thinking that after all this time it would matter. She didn't still love him. Of course there were memories and feelings, but she didn't love him. She wouldn't.
"Are you Mr. Walker?"
A young man in a white coat stopped beside Nick, interrupting the moment.
"Yes, that's my sister." "Great, I'll just speak with her, then we'll get you out of here."
Nick nodded, and the doctor moved past him. He turned his attention back to her, and they shared one last look before she walked away. She'd been so sure they could survive anything. She'd been wrong. 22 years ago. It was the summer after Mia's junior year when Nick finally met Mia's parents. She'd told him they didn't travel, so he hadn't expected them to come to Virginia. Not wanting to go an entire 10 weeks of summer break without seeing her, he'd suggested he fly to Boston for a few days. She'd been ecstatic, even if she sounded more than a little nervous. He arrived on a Tuesday evening at the little house on Broad Street. The house was split in half for two families, as was common in the area. Mia's family was on the bottom floor, old but spotless, and smelled of garlic and candles. Everywhere he looked was lace and faded pictures. Mia had described it to him, of course. They'd talked of her childhood often. Seeing it added another layer of understanding. Dinner was begova korba, a traditional meat and vegetable stew.
"This is delicious. Now I know where Mia gets her cooking skills. Mia is far more than cooking,"
her father said.
"Yes, sir."
"He cooks as much as I do," Mia chimed in. "More, even. But it's nice to have a real kitchen and eat real food instead of cafeteria." Mia's father lifted his glass of wine.
"So you said."
He knew her parents weren't happy about the amount of time she spent there, correctly assuming it wasn't all studying, not sitting on the couch with an acceptable 2 feet between them.
"You have a child,"
her father said shortly after they'd blessed the food. "His sister," Mia answered quickly.
"Yes, I know this, but still, a child to care for." "Yes, I do,"
Nick said, looking Mia's father straight in the eye.
"She's 4. "A child is a lot. You will want a wife to help you." "I'm doing okay."
"He's doing great." Mia squeezed his hand under the table.
Mm-hmm.
Her father made a sound and they went on eating. That seemed to end that discussion, for which he was eternally grateful. The rest of the dinner was amicable, mostly focusing on Mia and her studies. After dinner and before dessert, Mia helped her mother put the kitchen to rights while Nick stood outside on a small porch with Mia's father.
"She is in love with you,"
her father began. Nick wasn't sure how to respond. It didn't sound like a question, so he agreed.
"Yes, I think so."
It felt good that her father knew. Whether he'd seen it with his own eyes or his daughter had told him didn't matter.
"I would ask you not to marry her before she has reached her dream. I know that is a lot to ask of a man who wants to make a woman his. But I am an old man, and I would ask it anyway. Mr. James, I'm not wanting Mia to marry me and keep house. We're both still in school. I know she has dreams, and I respect those. She's brilliant and giving. I love that about her." "So you will not ask her?"
He nodded sharply and laid a hand on Nick's shoulder, his grip stronger than he looked.
"That is good. And when the time comes, I will give you my blessing."
It was a lot to ask, but even if they weren't getting married, they could hold off on the engagement. It all seemed like a long way off. He was barely 22, and, like Mia, still had a lot of things to accomplish. He nodded. He saw no reason not to agree as long as the father's wishes were in line with the daughter's.
"You have my word." "That is good. We'll go in now. You will like my Anna's burekas. Like you would say, turnover with apples." "I'm sure I will," he said,
and walked in ahead of Mia's father, feeling like he'd passed the test. The turnovers weren't quite ready, and while Mia's parents huddled in the kitchen, very likely to discuss him, he found Mia in her old bedroom. It was small, much smaller than her dorm room as a resident assistant. A handmade quilt covered the bed. Lace curtains, the only frill in the room, hung over the windows. It was very Mia. Simple, academic. He started to close the door, but she turned. "Don't. Ma will just come by and open it." She smiled, and he did too. Her parents might be strict by many standards, but they loved Mia dearly, and he understood that. He wrapped his arms around her from behind and kissed the side of her neck.
"So I can relax, knowing there haven't been many boys in your room?"
"Absolutely not." He looked around. Everything was neat and tidy. Only a globe sat on her desk. The shelf above held various books. Maps and posters of the human body covered one wall. A row of encyclopedias, actual hard copies, leather-bound, filled a small bookcase. The same ones he knew Mia and her father had often read at night. She turned, gave him a quick kiss, then sat on the edge of her bed. "My father spoke to you."
"Yes."
"And what did you talk about?"
"Oh, this and that."
"Nick," he grinned.
"You look nervous. Did you think I wouldn't survive it?"
She picked at a thread.
"I don't know. You're still here."
"Of course I'm still here. And we did talk of this and that, but of course it was mostly of you. He loves you very much."
"Yes, he does. Sometimes I wonder if he loves me too much."
"Is that possible?"
"I don't know, I guess not. I've often thought, though, that if there'd been more children, especially boys, he wouldn't be so dependent on me, I guess. Maybe that's not the right word."
"He made me promise not to ask you to marry me."
Mia's eyes went wide with shock.
"He what? Please tell me he didn't say that."
"Not until you finish school."
"Oh, okay. I never considered getting married in school, did you?" He hadn't thought that far ahead, not about specifics.
He loved her, knew he wanted to be with her.
"No, and I get where your dad is coming from. We talked about the future. He wants you to finish school, med school before I tie you down, barefoot and pregnant, washing dishes.
Mia groaned. Please tell me he didn't say that.
No, but I understand his meaning.
Do you? He rubbed at the worry between her brows.
Yes. We're both still in college, but I let him know my intentions toward you were pure.
She laughed softly.
I didn't give details, of course.
Of course. She sighed. I'm sorry. He hasn't had an easy life. He's lost a lot of people he loves. I know in a lot of ways he feels he turned his back on his family, his culture. But he has a different dream for me.
I understand. And I agree, as long as it's your dream too. I want you to be happy. I want you to have your dream.
And I want you to have yours, she said quickly.
I know. Med school is what, 6 years?
More like 8 with surgical residency.
Okay, 8. And hopefully I'll be in the FBI.
Will be, not hopefully.
Maybe, but we have our entire lives.
He cupped her face.
I'm not worried.
You don't need to be. My heart is yours. You stole it, remember?
Yes.
His lips curved against hers.
And I'm not giving it back.
Good. I don't want you to. I'm not giving yours back either. She opened to his kiss as he caught the back of her head and held her there. He hadn't kissed her since he'd arrived. It had been way too long. Their tongues danced in a practiced rhythm while her fingers twisted the shirt on his chest. She always did that when she sank to his knees, like a cat flexing its paw as it settled in. A dark thought about those years apart they'd discussed moments ago knocked at the edges of his mind, but he shoved it back, sliding his hand around her waist to pull her closer.
Mia!
Her mother called from the other room.
Come and sit!
Coming! She rolled her eyes. Well, we had 5 minutes. He gave her a quick kiss.
Maybe we can go for a walk later. You can show me the neighborhood.
He tugged her off the bed. And let you pull me into the shadows?
Exactly.
The weeks and months had flown and turned into years, and Hannah's first day of kindergarten had arrived well before he was ready.
Another pancake? Mia asked.
No, thanks. Hannah sat patiently at the kitchen counter while Nick finished the second long braid. He wound an elastic band on the end.
Done.
Hannah pulled it over her shoulder to see.
Nick does it good.
Yes, he does. He's a pro.
Mia looked at Nick.
Nick swung her from the stool.
Do you want ribbons on the bottom?
Yes.
She raced halfway down the hall, then turned back.
Pink or purple?
Lady's choice,
he called after her, then turned to Mia.
Damn, when did this happen? And brush your teeth,
he yelled, then slumped against the counter.
Nick's expression was so pained. Mia came to him, touched his face.
God, why did I think she was so big? She's not, she's too little.
Come on. She rubbed her hand over his back. Hold it together.
I'm holding it.
Yeah, and that's the third cup of coffee you've poured and left to go cold.
They both looked around the kitchen, and Mia smiled. It was cute that he was so nervous.
She should have a beeper or a... Hell, I don't know.
Nick, she's 5 years old. Mia slid her arms around his waist, looked up at him, her chin on his chest.
Millions of 5-year-olds across the country go to kindergarten every year. She'll be fine. She's ready.
He sighed and wrapped his arms around her.
I know. Why is it that I'm not?
You love her, and you're a natural-born worrier.
And she stretched up on her tiptoes to give him a quick kiss.
I love you.
I love you too.
It seemed Nick blinked and Hannah was six, then blinked again and Mia was days away from graduating. After a night of hot sex and sweet whispers, Mia and Nick lay reassuring each other of the future. They'd grown up together in the past 4 years. A lot of changing between 18 and 21, but their hearts were still as tightly wrapped around each other as their bodies were now.
I'm sorry.
It wasn't the first time she'd said it, and he reassured her again, knowing she was worried about him.
It'll be fine. Stop worrying.
He pulled her closer.
I'll finish up my classes in the fall. Make sure the guys are settled.
They could step up, Mia said of Zach and Dallas. They're as old as you were when you took over everything.
Yeah, I think they will. But I'll give them some time to get in the groove of college first.
They'd both decided to stick close and go to UVA. Nick still had his sights set on the FBI Academy, but it wouldn't be easy. He'd have to be away for 20 weeks, though after the first few he'd be able to come home on the weekends.
I should stay.
No, you shouldn't.
No matter how much he wanted her to, she couldn't. Her dream of being a surgeon was just as strong as it had been when he'd met her. 21 years old and brilliant, he wouldn't stand in the way of that. The fact that Harvard had awarded her a rare scholarship meant she was going back to Boston like she'd promised.
I've already got a line on a possible nanny. After school and nights when needed, it'll work out. Don't worry about it. It's not your responsibility.
Don't do that.
Her soft fingers traced down his cheek, and she turned his face to hers.
Don't put up walls.
But he had to put up some, or he wouldn't survive this. Still didn't know how he would do without her, and it had nothing to do with needing help with Hannah. It was all him. He needed her. Suddenly needing her again, right now, he came over her, framing her face in his hands.
Nothing will change,
he said, even as his chest hurt with the silent fear that everything would change.
They'd said I love you many times, but there was more. He felt more.
I never thought I would feel this way,
he said, staring into eyes he loved so much.
I mean, I knew what it was. I saw it with my parents, and I thought, I felt so sure I'd never have that it wasn't in me.
Nick.
She caressed the side of his face, linked her hands behind his neck.
Maybe that's the point,
he said.
Maybe no one has it until they find the other person who brings it. That's what you did, Mia. You brought that missing piece. The only piece that would have ever fit.
With her fingers in his hair, she pulled him down for a kiss.
I love you too.
3 days later, they stood just outside airport security. Mia would fly back to Boston the same way she'd come.
We'll see each other in 3 months,
he said, with his arms wrapped around her and her face buried in his chest. He felt her nod.
The girl with the plan,
he said, trying to make her smile. But she looked up at him, an unasked question in her eyes.
Hey, if you think I'm not steady enough to wait, that I don't love you enough, you're wrong.
I don't think that. I'm steady, too. In love with you, too.
She gave him a watery smile.
How often would we see each other anyway? It might be better even, me not being close, but too busy to play.
And she wouldn't end up helping him reach his dreams and letting her slide by keeping house, looking after Hannah, and making sure the twins were eating meat and vegetables instead of mac and cheese. He loved her too much to let that happen. He smiled and pressed his lips to the top of her head.
I do love distracting you. I love you.
I know. I love you. I'll call you as soon as I get there.
He pulled her in for one more kiss. She called him as soon as she got to her gate, then again during a brief layover, and again when she arrived home. They would have a lifetime together.
8 years was nothing in the course of a lifetime.
Chapter 8 Hannah was 7 when Nick was accepted into the FBI Academy. Both Dallas and Zach offered to live at home after experiencing 2 years on campus. He made it through the academy and was assigned to the Richmond Field Office, an hour's commute from Charlottesville. It was a juggling act a lot of the time, but he and his brothers made it work. Hannah was thriving, he loved his work, and he was able to keep his eye on his brothers. It didn't leave a lot of time to see Mia. She didn't have a lot of time either. For 6 years, they talked on the phone and saw each other every few months, but he missed her. They saw each other more than most military families. He reminded himself of that when he was having a bad moment and stayed busy. If he wasn't working a current case, there were past cases to study, in addition to trying to learn Persian, or Farsi, depending on who you were talking to, in the hopes of securing a spot with the Anti-Terrorism Task Force. The twins graduated, and Dallas took off. Zach took a job as a fireman, which suited him much better than school ever did. Nick lived the life of a working single father who barely had time to breathe. Even if he weren't devoted to Mia, he wouldn't have had time to pursue a relationship, and the fact that he was devoted meant he had no desire to. Never once did he think giving up Mia might be worth companionship closer to home. He had no interest in touching another woman, and the thought of another woman touching him was absolutely unappealing. He only wanted Mia's hands, her smell, her taste. On an evening like many others, he called her, letting it ring, planning to leave a message because chances were good she was either sleeping or on call. Lately, they talked through messages more often than in real time.
"Nick?" she answered, sounding out of breath.
"Hey."
"Hey, glad I caught you."
Then he heard another, deeper voice.
"Who's there?"
"Adam, he's helping me move."
"Right."
She'd moved to a new apartment with some other female residents, and of course Adam was helping. Same guy she used to study with. He tried hard not to think about the male doctors she must be spending those long nights with. Men would do anything and everything they could to win a girl like Mia.
"Where do you want this?"
The other man's voice was clear and close. Nick ground his teeth. Another man in her apartment, knowing where she lived, touching her things.
"Just put it in the bedroom."
"He's in your bedroom?"
"Nick, don't do this. Please, you know I love you."
"You've canceled my last 2 trips.
"Because there's something going on you don't want me to see?"
"Mia! Mia, what about this one? I have to get going, so if you want to use my muscles, you better do it now."
Silence, then her heavy sigh.
"Okay, just a sec. Nick, are you there?"
"Yeah, I'm here."
That was the problem, wasn't it? He was here, and she and Adam were there.
"Sounds like you need to go."
"I do, but I'll call you later, if I can."
Always qualified with that last bit, because you never knew who might have an emergency, who might need her. He wondered if Adam ever had emergencies.
"Okay, then I guess I'll talk to you later, if you can."
She said bye and hung up.
Damn it. He was ruining things. He knew he was. If she wanted to be with Adam, which made him sick to think about, then he'd deal with that, fight for her.
And if she didn't want to be with Adam, then his insecurity would push her in that direction. His possessiveness would add to her strain, and she'd have someone else there to lean on. Exactly what the other man was waiting for. Shit. He didn't want to be insecure, hated it, and he wanted to blame Mia for it, but it wasn't her fault. He called her back, and she answered on the first ring with a,
"Hey."
"I love you, Mia. That's all. I know you have to go, but I just wanted to say that."
"I love you, too," she said, and her voice softened. Some of the sick fear left him.
I love you so damn much. Don't forget that.
I won't, she said, and he could hear her smiling. Don't forget how much I love you either, okay? Promise?
I promise.
Another month passed, then it became three. She still discouraged him from going to Boston, saying he should enjoy any downtime, spend it with Hannah, not traveling. That she wouldn't have any time at all, not even for coffee, working all weekend, always crazy busy. A few weeks later, he thought, screw it. If all he could do was kiss her, then that was what he was going to do. He went by the hospital first and saw firsthand the crazy and the busy, loud and hurried.
Excuse me.
He stopped one nurse as she tried to rush by him.
Hi.
Her eyes met his and brightened. Wherever she was going was suddenly not so important.
Can I help you?
I'm looking for Mia James.
Of course you are. Her happy demeanor fizzled and she started away. She's on break.
Wait, where is that? The cafeteria?
I think she went out. The cafeteria coffee sucks. She went to the griddle with Adam, a passing nurse added. Was there something in her eyes? A knot began to form in his gut. The woman he'd stopped first looked even more unhappy.
With Adam? Are you sure?
Yeah, very.
Figures, the first nurse muttered. Okay, so I guess she's at the griddle. He waited. Was it not obvious he needed to know where that was? That he'd come to find his Mia and he wasn't just going to walk out without her? Or did they expect the news of Adam to explain more than it obviously did?
And where is that exactly?
His tone had lost any friendliness it might have held before. He got the directions, out the ER, down a block on the corner. Dodging the incoming, he went back out into the cold and sloshed his way down the block. Please let her be alone. Please let her be alone. She wasn't alone. She was sitting right by the window, as clear as day, having coffee with another man. Adam. The one she'd studied with in med school more than once, who'd recently helped her move into her new apartment. The same one who'd been in the bedroom that he had not. His palm slapped against the glass door hard enough to sting, and he pushed inside. God, he could hear her, the sound of her laughing, and it went straight to his heart. It swelled and then hurt when he saw her smiling face aimed at another man. He walked right up to their table.
Hey.
Nick! Oh my God!
Mia's eyes went wide with shock. With hard eyes, Nick watched as Adam reached across the table and covered Mia's hand. And something inside him snapped. He could feel it coming apart. Mia was still staring at him.
I can't believe you're here.
His jaw was clenched almost too tightly to speak.
Surprise!
Mia tugged her hand from under Adam's.
I didn't know you were coming.
No, I can see that.
She moved to stand, but Adam got out first, angling himself just enough that Mia couldn't jump into his arms if that's what she was about to do. He stared deep into Adam's face, thinking of all the ways he could and wanted to hurt him.
We need to talk.
It was long overdue.
Okay, Mia said. I have to get back to the hospital, but...
Not you. Him. Is there a problem?
Medium height, blonde, clean cut, Adam looked exactly like you'd expect a gentleman who came from old money and road crew for Harvard.
Nick!
Sensing the fury rolling through him, Mia touched his arm.
Don't do this.
You don't have to watch.
Shall we go outside? Adam asked.
So civilized. He was feeling anything but civil, and he was no gentleman. He followed Adam out, went a few steps so he didn't block the door.
I guess I haven't made myself clear. Or maybe you're not too bright. Or maybe
He took a step forward.
You're just the type of guy who makes moves on unavailable women.
Adam had the balls to glance at Mia with what any man would recognize as pure want.
She didn't seem unavailable to me.
You son of a bitch.
Adam! Nick barely heard Mia's exclamation, didn't take the time to think about her obvious shock before he struck. His fist connected squarely with Adam's mouth. The guy didn't go down, but he did stumble back. Adam wiped at his split lip, and Nick stepped close, clenching his fist.
You have coffee with her, you talk doctor stuff, but you do not touch her.
Nick jabbed his finger in the shorter man's chest.
And listen, because this is important. You don't even think about touching her. And if I have to come up here every fucking day to remind you who Mia belongs to, I will. I'll be happy to.
There was a moment Mia could have gone to either one of them. Adam wiping at his bloody mouth, or Nick opening and closing his fist, thinking he wasn't done yet. She came to him. Her eyes were still wide, her mouth open slightly in shock.
Hey, babe.
The door to the diner opened.
Somebody going to pay for this coffee?
Mia reached into her pocket, but Adam went to the door.
I got it.
I'm sorry, Adam. You know I'm with Nick.
Yeah, I guess I do.
He gave her a sad look and went inside, getting out his wallet as he went. Mia turned back to Nick, smiled up at him. Hey.
Hey.
You promised not to forget.
Yeah, but I didn't promise not to remind him or anyone else. Here.
He took her coat from her hands and held it open.
Put this on.
She slipped her arms in, then wrapped them around his neck and kissed him. I told you I was too busy to spend time with you.
I know.
Her lips curved against his. But you came anyway. He finished the last button and turned up her collar against the wind.
Yes.
She tugged his face down until their lips met again. Thank you. Then she kissed him, so deeply, so full of welcome and happiness, he knew he'd done the right thing. He waited while she finished her shift, then waited some more while she finagled a trade so she could have the next 36 hours off. 36 hours of just the two of them. He planned to make the most of it. Chapter 9. It was after midnight when they hit the door of her apartment at a near run, their mouths fused as they stumbled through.
I want to talk to you,
he said between kisses.
Yes,
she said against his mouth. Me too.
And I want to look at you and...
Me too.
Her fingers pulled at his hair, while his flew over her back, her bottom, searched under her coat for her breast.
But not now.
No, not now, she panted. I can't think right now.
She kissed him hard, nipped at his bottom lip, and he laughed.
I think you missed me.
Yes, God, I missed you.
She reached for his belt and flipped the button of his jeans. It had been way too long.
Nick.
I feel like a clumsy teen again.
He ran his hands over her, despising the layers of clothes.
You were never clumsy.
Just on the inside, then. God, you made me nervous.
She tipped her head back, making room for his seeking lips, and smiled.
Not as nervous as you made me, I can assure you.
Their mouths found each other again. Coats were ripped away, his sweater, her scrubs. It was rough and loud and wild, both of them forgetting how to breathe. She slid like silk over him, kissing his face, his chest, working her way down. She used her hands and mouth until he couldn't remember his own name. By the time he finally thrust into her tight heat, his world was almost right again. And then it was all the way right. He put his mouth to the pulse in her neck, his own heart shuddering at the feel of it beating against his lips.
You're mine.
I know. Always.
She struggled for breath. Don't ever let me go.
Never.
She gave him everything. Her body, her soul, all her love, all her trust, and he gave her back the same. Afterward, they lay together with her body draped over his. He stroked her back, combed his fingers through her hair like she loved. Her body felt melded and molded to his, but she wasn't asleep.
What are you thinking about?
She whispered.
About waking up beside you, making love to you again while you're warm and sleepy.
Getting ahead of yourself, aren't you?
No.
His hands caressed her bottom.
I don't think so.
She agreed and wiggled against him.
You should be sleeping these 36 hours.
No, she whispered, almost sighed. No sleeping.
You're tired. You're not getting enough rest.
I'm a doctor. We don't sleep.
You're not eating enough, or well.
He'd noticed that the second he'd laid eyes on her. Another thing about doctors. She shifted so that she was still covering him, but off to one side, with her head on his shoulder. Tell me you're eating 5 servings of fruits and vegetables a day.
Vegetables, yes. Fruit, not so much. How did you get the time off?
Someone owed me.
Not Adam,
he growled, hoping. She tightened the arm draped across him and soothed with a quick kiss to his chest. No, not Adam. You didn't have to hit him, you know.
Yes, I really did.
There's nothing. There's never been.
I know. I just had to make sure he knows.
She smiled against him. Did it make you feel better?
Yes.
Then he needed her again. Forget waiting until morning. He covered her mouth with his, and she sighed, opened, and gave. They spent that night in the small apartment she shared with 2 other girls near the hospital, their bodies flushed together in a tiny bed, barely big enough for the 2 of them. The next morning, they took a train to New York. He wanted her to get out of Boston, wanted the 2 of them away from any and all work. 36 hours they'd have together, less than that now, and he'd make the most of every single second. He didn't do enough of that, didn't send her flowers or call her in wax poetic words of love. He didn't tell her how empty he felt when he crawled into bed without her every night, or that a part of himself was missing, a chunk of his heart gone with her so far away. He didn't know how to say it or what good it would do. He didn't want her to give up what she wanted or to make her feel guilty for wanting it. He could wait. He had no other choice. He would focus on Hannah and work, and he would breathe. And in a few more years, she'd be with him again every night. He hoped. God, he hoped. Maybe that's what hurt him so much. The fear that she might never come back to him. So, for now, through these next hours, he would keep her as close as possible, make her smile as brightly as he could, and dig deep to show her how he felt. He got an expensive room in a small boutique hotel just a few blocks from Rockefeller Center and a short cab ride from Central Park. They walked and talked and slipped into an interesting little hole in the wall for dinner. She told him about the cases she'd had in the ER and the lives she'd saved.
You love it.
Yes, I really do. I think I found my niche with emergency surgery. The controlled chaos, the team calling out numbers and demands, going from hopeless to hopeful in seconds. When she paused and looked into her soup, he covered her hand, knowing her well enough to know that look in her eyes.
It's okay, she said. I know I can't save them all.
He was so damn proud of her. Had he told her that?
But all the ones that can be saved, you save them.
Her grateful smile warmed her face, even though he hadn't said exactly what he meant to say. Why couldn't he say what he meant to say? What he felt? Hannah told me you wouldn't let her wear lip gloss to school,
Mia eyed him over her glass.
Really, Nick?
She's 12.
It's lip gloss. Shiny chapstick.
It's not the gloss, it's why she wants to wear the gloss.
Ah. She rubbed her thumb over the frown between his brows.
Do you know how much I love you?
Because I won't let her wear lip gloss?
No.
She leaned over and pressed a quick kiss to his lips.
Because you're you.
She smiled.
Just maybe give on the little things.
Well, there's one thing that's not so little.
What's that?
He sighed. He hadn't meant to bring it up during their time together, but he did want to talk to her about it.
Hannah's teachers are suggesting that she skip a couple of grades.
Mia listened intently.
It wasn't such a surprise. Hannah had tested at genius level in early elementary school, and it had been suggested then. When she could read at an eighth-grade level and work basic algebra problems at 7 years old, the school counselor had brought it up. Nick had nixed that idea. He didn't want her with older kids. She was in the enriched program and pulled out for certain classes. That would have to be enough. The school didn't seem to think that was enough anymore.
There's one other kid her age that's moved to the high school. He takes regular high school classes, biology, chemistry, and the school counselor says Hannah is miles ahead of him. She said I need to think about Hannah's future, that she could be in college by the time she's 15. Why the hell would I want her in college at 15?
Mia listened, weighing it all like she did, and he waited.
What? Tell me what you're thinking.
I'm thinking that if I had gone to college when I was 15, I would already be done with med school. I'd be well on my way to doing the work I love before I'm 30. He grinned.
If you'd been 15 in college, I wouldn't have made my moves on you.
There is that. She smiled briefly.
But I could be married, maybe starting a family.
Is that what you want?
Her eyes met his. You know I do.
Well, you're not 30 yet.
He brought her hand to his lips.
We'll get there.
She nodded, then stunned him when her eyes filled with tears. Mia never cried.
I miss you,
she said, her voice breaking.
Hey.
With his arm around her shoulder, he pulled her face to his chest.
You're almost done.
I know, but...
Shh. I'll come see you more.
No.
She wiped her cheeks, gave him a sad, forced smile.
I'm not asking you to do that. I'm sorry.
We said no crying.
That was your visiting rule. I can cry if I want to.
That got a real smile.
I love you, she said.
I know.
She took a deep breath and let it out, brushing aside her sad mood. He hated it. One rare tear tore him up inside. But if he let her quit now, if he encouraged it, no, they'd made it this far.
So, back to Hannah. It seems like something to think about. What are you gonna do?
I don't know. She wants to do it.
I guess you could try it for a little while. A semester? See how it goes.
Maybe.
It made his head hurt. He wanted Mia's opinion, but he didn't want to think about this right now. Right now was all about the two of them together for what was, he glanced at his watch, 28 hours. They left the restaurant with her hand snug in his. The New York winter blew lightly against them.
You need gloves,
he said after a few minutes.
I'm sure we can find some.
No. She looked up at him, rubbing the pad of her thumb over the back of his hand. She didn't want anything between them. He didn't either. They stopped on the plaza and watched the ice skaters below.
Her face was flushed with cold, her cheeks rosy. And though her eyes were still tired, they were brighter. He pulled her in front of him at the rail, her back to his chest, and wrapped her up tight in his arms.
"You looked cold,"
he whispered at her ear. "Really?" she teased, giving him a glance over his shoulder.
"Mm-hmm."
He pressed his lips to her temple and she sighed. He'd have to unwind the scarf to nibble on her throat. Later. They walked a little farther, then grabbed a cab to Central Park.
"Hey, hey!" a vendor called out. "Come see! Something for the lovebirds!"
His long black braids hung over the red and green scarf wrapped around his neck. He held out the wares he was hawking.
$5.
Mia took the plastic globe he held out and turned it in her hands. Tiny white bits flew around the cheap depiction of Central Park. She turned it again, shook it. "I was sure it would snow tonight."
"There's your snow."
Nick handed the man a $5 and linked his fingers with Mia's again.
"Come on."
They walked until they were alone, away from lights and people, and crossed a short bridge. "I wish it was snowing," she said as they stopped midway.
"Not cold enough for you?"
"It is, but it's so beautiful when it snows. I don't like the cold, but I do like it when it's coming down. Not the blustering flurry kind, but the big flakes. They fall so slowly. It's like you can watch something coming straight down from heaven and landing at your feet."
"I'd say it's exactly like that."
He dipped his head and took her mouth in a long, drawn-out kiss. Then he pulled back and brushed a hand over her cheek.
"You shouldn't get cold. You'll get sick."
She pulled his head down for more. "I'm not cold." They kissed again, absorbing everything the moment could give them. It was always there, the heat, the want. The time apart had no effect. He laid his palms over her cold ears.
"You live in Boston. You should have a hat, for God's sake."
"I forgot it. I think I was distracted when I was packing." He remembered. He'd been doing some very creative distracting. "Just another minute." With her eyes squeezed tightly shut, like a child making a wish, she shook the globe again, and he laughed. She grinned up at him, and he took the globe from her, held it above her head.
"Just pretend."
Before his lips touched hers, a heavy white flake fell right between them. Another landed on her shoulder, and another settled softly on her head.
"It's snowing,"
he said, not quite believing it. "It's magic," she whispered, pulling him down for a magical kiss. They kissed with the snow falling softly around them, then watched the fat flakes land silently on the cold surface, disappearing without ripple or sound, merging with the water. He wrapped Mia up, merged with her,